Welcome to episode 3 of Nerd Talk, where Matt Toner and I talk about nerd stuff, movies, comic books, etc. Toner didn't show up for this one. This is part 3 of our talk with podcast Rob from the Something Something cast and Marcus from Deadpan Fury. We talk a little bit of Deadpool, more Marvel stuff, and Star Wars.
Prior to this past TV season, I would have said go to Greg Berlanti.
Fuck, now I'm mad.
I would have said
fucking tell off Dan DiDio right now.
Oh, this should be good. No, prior to this current TV season, I would have said go to Greg Berlanti and get him as your architect. But the way the current season has gone and all those DC shows, I don't know anymore. Just this current season of everything just feels off, and I kind of given up on it all.
So I haven't watched any of the shows from this season. I was just waiting for them all to hit Netflix so I can binge all of them together.
I was
never on board with Legends of Tomorrow. I have no desire for this. What are they doing, Black Lightning next year? I don't know if I have any interest in that. And I agree with you, Joe. Berlanti might have been intriguing, but I would just rather him stick to his CW world and just keep trying to get that thing to keep working. Why mess with a good thing? You know what I mean? Well, why try to bring him over when he's found his niche is what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah. Well, and Flash was interesting the first two seasons, even though they did a speedster bad guy for both of them. And this third season, I just haven't gotten into it the same way. Supergirl turned into a CW show. Legends of Tomorrow is just, it's the same thing. Every episode, they just repeat the same story, just change the setting. And then Arrow is your prototypical CW show where they, I don't know, I just have a problem with the cast, the way everything's portrayed. I mean, how many stories can he have in that 5 years he was missing?
Well, that's a victim of success. That's the same as Lost.
Yeah.
Well, because, Jay, they're going to keep churning out Arrows until people are just done tuning in, but no one's done tuning in. That's the problem.
They're going to drag it out
just like they are Walking Dead.
Yeah.
I think Arrow's a good example of don't give fans what they want. Give them what they think they want and kind of you need to play with their audience expectations. The moment they turned it into a romance thing with Felicity and Ollie, they fucking wrecked that show for me. You went from having a cool, capable female character that was independent and smart to just another lovesick girlfriend waiting for, you know, this and that. And then and that's not why guys watch most of those types of shows. The Flash for me this year, there's been 3 things I liked about The Flash. We had more Tom Cavanaugh.
Yeah.
We had a Grodd 2-parter, and I like Killer Frost. But I don't like Killer Frost every other episode. I don't like her having a weird split personality thing. I feel like the show's gone to the well too many times. And they've really turned the time travel thing from a neat trick that Barry can do under extreme circumstances to an annoying plot device that lets them recycle the same thing over and over again, which is I'm going to do something dumb and then I change the future and then I'm going to do something dumb because of it. And then I'm going to patronize somebody. And, you know, they basically play musical chairs with who they're going to patronize in any given story arc. And they all literally are written like that. Well, one exception is the musical episode was really good. And then I was less impressed when I found out they used to be on fucking Glee. I was like, well, okay, so they could sing or something. I thought they were just, you know, going into this kind of raw. And I was like, wow, they're really pulling it off. Or they got some good, you know, auto-tune shit going on. And they're like, oh, no, they can sing. They were on Glee for 8 years. I'm like, oh, well, fuck them then, you know.
Yeah, and that was probably one of the best episodes. And you're on your third season, and you have to pull in Flashpoint as a story point. It just seems too soon.
Yeah, dude, fuck Flashpoint.
Hmm?
Oh, fuck Flashpoint.
Yeah.
Just in general.
Yeah, but, if you want to do a Flashpoint story, let him build up a few more seasons before you feel like you have to reset things.
Well, but I mean, you drop the bomb in the first episode of season 1 that you're building up to Crisis.
Yeah.
Well, so build up to Crisis then. Don't. And this is the DC bullshit. Oh, no, Crisis is the worst thing that could ever happen. Oh, except for we undid it. Except for you can undo it. Except now we did do it. And now it never happened. And now we have this one that never happened that made this happen instead. And it's like, fuck you, dude. Just tell me fucking Court of Owl shit and fucking get Superman off to save the planet. Just do that.
And when
Superman's never saved the planet before. Oh, fuck you.
And when two of your four shows...
I'm mad again.
Two of your four shows are time travel shows. That's just...
Well, Legends of Tomorrow is just hack.
Yeah. Well, and... Ugh. At least with the Flashpoint, it affected the other shows. But they, in Legends of Tomorrow, they keep going back and changing things. And now...
That's just...
What's-His-Face has a daughter, but it's not referenced anywhere else. At least be consistent through it all.
Here's how much I couldn't stand Legends of Tomorrow. I keep seeing it come up on Netflix. I'm like, oh, you know what? Let me give it a shot. I made it through one season of Gotham. Haven't been able to watch anything else since then. Never got into Arrow or Flash. I said, let me try this Legends of Tomorrow thing. I made it 16 minutes into the first episode, and I had to tap out. And I was so enraged and uncaring about anything that happened on the screen. I described the main character as a wannabe Doctor who didn't make the cut. And my friend said, you realize that's the guy who played Rory in Matt Smith's Doctor Who season, right? And I said, nope, didn't even recognize him, couldn't fucking care less. There was just nothing that I could buy into on that show whatsoever to make me remotely interested in giving a crap about any of it.
You remember earlier when Marcus said that comic book people sit there and continue to buy the episode or each issue, even though they're crap. Yeah, that was me with that show. So I've watched all two seasons.
You know what could have saved Legends of Tomorrow for me? Throw in Booster fucking Gold.
Oh. That's what DC should do. DC needs to do a Justice League America movie.
Yeah, if you would have thrown,
or a Justice League Europe Booster movie Gold with Captain Adam and Ralph Dibny and shit.
Yeah, if you would have thrown fucking Booster Gold into Legends of Tomorrow and continually had him trying to profit off the future and fucking seeking fame and being all obsessed with it while Rip's doing his fucking, you know, time travel bullshit, people would have lost their fucking mind. They would have ate that shit up. You know, Booster Gold's a good pick for I want to get interested in time travel. You know, he's different and he's kind of Marvel, but not, you know.
They need to do a Blue Beetle and Booster Gold buddy TV show. That's what they need to do.
I heard that they were fucking talking about one, but I wouldn't, you know, I don't know how that fucking goes anywhere.
Well, they were talking about Berlanti doing a Booster Gold film. But, you know, not with the TV show. They're gonna,
right.
There was a little bit of them saying we'll do it on sci-fi. Then it turned into a movie, and then it's just kind of gone away.
You know, and that's one of the things that kills me about DC is DC has more modern characters that audiences like. Like, I don't know that it's fair to call Booster a modern character, even though his most popular period is probably, you know, within the past 10 years. But... he's been, you know, he's relatively modern. He was pulled in the 80s, you know. Marvel doesn't have a lot of 80s characters that are significant. Most of their stuff's 70s, you know, maybe there's a couple X-Men. I'd probably argue that, like, Wolverine and Rogue are probably their biggies until Deadpool.
Yeah.
You know, but Deadpool and Cable were their game changers. Well, okay, where does Deadpool and Cable get to make their movies? Oh, shit. Yeah, we don't have those. Fucking DC's got a new Blue Beetle that was critically loved. Their Kate Spencer Manhunter character was a fucking solid book. You've got legacy after legacy. Like, dude, could you imagine watching fucking Darkseid kill Barry and then have Wally take over? Dude, I'd watch that movie in a fucking heartbeat. You know, although I'm a Wally West fan. But, you know, I mean... DC does that shit better than Marvel does. When Marvel kills a character, we go, sure, he's dead, and we all look at our watches, and then go. We start playing the how many issues until Fantastic Four 600, you know, until we know that the character can come back. When DC kills a character like the Flash, you go, holy fuck, they can't kill the Flash, and he stays dead for 40 fucking years. You know?
Or you introduce a new Robin who actually sticks around for a long time.
Yeah, Tim Drake. Well, Tim Drake was designed to get rid of that fucking problem with Jason Todd, where it's just a guy in a suit and nobody liked that. You know, you didn't want an usurper. You wanted someone that deserved to be there.
Right.
So Tim Drake was originally designed to be the ultimate sidekick, you know, and he became a great character. You know, he's Jason Todd. I've even kind of warmed up to him after he came back. I would have rather he stayed in the ground. You know, with the new and improved DC timeline, he's had like 5 Robins in 3 years.
Yeah.
You know, it hurts my fucking head. I'm going to write a fucking email to fucking Snyder right now. I'm all bitter again. I was all centered and shit too, man. Fucking. But yeah, with DC, that's what pisses me off the most is just that feeling of squandered opportunity. Because it's not that these guys are risks. Wonder Woman shouldn't be a risk, you know.
Yeah, fucking, they're scared it's gonna fail. They're really apprehensive about it. You can just
Superman shouldn't be a risk. Superman should be money in the bank, you know. And I know that people are really get all cute about Christopher Reeve. They did the smartest thing with Henry Cavill they could have done, which was not turn him into Christopher Reeve. That's what fucked Brandon Routh, was they really tried having him do that Christopher Reeve shit. And then, again, you've got Cyclops being the most heroic person in a Superman movie. Yeah, you fucked up. Now I just sound like I fucking hate everything about DC. Fuck
you. I thought you were a DC fan, man.
I am. I'm a huge DC fan. I just get very frustrated by the idea.
No, you're passionate about wanting it to be good. I get that. I'm the same way.
Well, and that's the problem is now I think I've got the abused spouse thing. I don't even need a good DC movie. I just wish they'd try. Yeah, as long as I don't have to cry myself to sleep every night, I'm okay. You come home drunk a couple times, smelling like someone else, I'm okay. You know? Fucking, you remember to cook something for my anniversary? It's all right, you know. But if you're gonna continually beat me for not having the house clean enough for your shit character, I mean, I'm just gonna sit in the shower and cry instead of watching another fucking Justice League movie.
Einhorn's a man.
Finkel and Einhorn. Bing Crosby used to beat his kids, and that's interesting.
Not that we haven't completely taken over this. I'm actually looking through the notes of stuff they wanted to talk about.
I didn't even look at that stuff.
And since you had mentioned Deadpool and Cable as being game changers, they did have on here Brolin as Cable.
I'm not gonna lie. Number one, I wanted Ron Perlman. Number two, I wanted Deadpool to continually fuck up the timeline, so Cable kept being recasted like 30 fucking times, so you could have young Cable, you could have X-Men, you could have Soldier X, you could have Nate Gray, you could have fucking just Keira Knightley, you could have all that fucking shit where, you know, Cable's like, can you just stop fucking up time? You know, and Deadpool like, nope. You know, I'd have been absolutely happy with like 6 people playing Cable.
That would have been amazing.
I'll wrap it back up to the fact that you were talking about Avatar before we even got going. The only reason why the guy that should be playing Cable is not playing Cable, Stephen Lang should be playing Cable.
Stephen Lang would be a good one too.
He can't because of the fucking Avatar shit.
Yeah.
Like, you're worried about doing Avatar, a movie that nobody even wants, versus Deadpool 2, which everybody wants. And I just like, come on, man. Skip out on the Avatar and go do Cable. Because he was born to play that role.
Yeah, he would have been great.
I think it would be hilarious if he kept screwing up the timeline and, like, they keep recasting Cable throughout the movie. He's just played by different actors.
Yeah.
And one of his asides to the audience is that he's trying to cycle through to get to the Keira Knightley Cable.
Yeah.
Well, and then the post-credit scene is a scene that they've already filmed, but it's her as Cable in the movie, and he just gives, like, the thumbs up to the audience. That would be hilarious to me.
Oh, I would love that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty happy with Deadpool. I mean, dude, I'm okay. Whatever they decide to go with, I'm going to give it a chance. You're really going to have to fucking tank Deadpool to get me. Like, Deadpool was one of those that I knew that I saw 80% of the funny jokes before I hit the theater, and I still went. I still went opening weekend. I still laughed my ass off. And my girlfriend's like, hey, we pre-ordered that, right? I'm all, yes. And she's, oh my God, so happy. You know? And I, as an aside, too, anytime I hear somebody say, oh, I didn't want to do this movie. Like when Olivia Munn was like, oh, I wanted the big physicality of Psylocke and not Deadpool's girlfriend. It's like, okay, you're smoking crack. Because, you know, as neat as she was in Psylocke, I don't give a fuck about anything that had to do with Apocalypse again. And Vanessa's probably got some legs to her with Deadpool movies. Yeah. And she could have made a cool copycat if they had gone that route eventually. But yeah, I just, Brolin is Cable. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Why not?
Physically, I see it. I like that a lot better than Pierce Brosnan. But
was he even a consideration?
Well, there was the rumor.
Fuck me.
There was the rumor he was, because he took a picture with Hugh Jackman and Ryan Reynolds, and they hinted to it on social media.
Oh, fuck me.
And then there was the Brad Pitt rumor, which, you know, there'd be worse people, but he just doesn't seem like he'd fit the role.
You know, Pitt, I think, could have pulled it off better than Pierce Brosnan. I'm a big Pierce Brosnan fan too. But I don't think he would have fit Cable whatsoever.
Yeah.
But after watching Brad Pitt and Inglourious Basterds, I absolutely think he could have pulled off Cable.
Yeah, my big problem is I want kind of old grizzly Cable, which is why Ron Perlman, you know, can you just I don't even have to try to imagine Ron Perlman just saying, what'd you get yourself into this time, Wade? You know?
Well, and that's just it. A Ron Perlman Cable is more of a... He's not such a loudmouth screaming rah rah right. rah, you know, Michael Ironside from fucking Starship Troopers kind of guy. He's much more of a I've seen this. It's almost like a I'm getting too old for this shit kind of Cable.
Right.
You know, see him decked out in all the gear and everything, which is very
Clancy Brown Cable. I'm in.
What'd you get yourself involved in this time? Exactly. Yeah. That would be it. Yeah, it's almost that tired, kind of resigned to Cable. Sure.
Clancy Brown Cable.
Oh, that would have been fucking fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, I'm nobody's agent. But, you know, fuck it. Yeah, there's guys that are floating around that I think can do it. I think so much of Deadpool script related that I'm good with. You know, casting, I have faith that they're going to cast the right guy and probably write the part around the guy. So Josh Brolin, okay. You know, I don't know that he was my, like I said, I don't know that he was my first pick or my favorite choice, but he'll do good. It'll service.
As long as Fox stays out of it and just lets them do what they did with the first one.
Yeah, they're not going to. They, for the first movie, they will always give you, like, depending how desperate they are, as a rule, they'll pretty much let you do whatever it is you're going to do. And then once it works, sometimes you're pretty much a victim of your own success. Like, once the Avengers made $1 billion in their first movie, like, Ultron was a failure in comparison. It's like, no, Ultron's still a pretty good movie. It's not a great movie in comparison, but it's still, you know, a pretty good movie. Nah, Spider-Man 2 only made $700 million. Well, $700 million's pretty good. Yeah, but it's not Avengers money. Once you benchmark like that, fucking, you know, it's really hard to follow. So Deadpool, I think, is going to get some of the Guardians 2 stuff a little bit, where people are going to egg on it a little bit on that second one. But I think they're going to do a good job with it. It's just the studios on the second movie, they really jump because they want lightning in a bottle. And if you can make a hit Deadpool movie the first time with, you know, this amount of money and these actors, well, maybe you can make one that makes twice as much money with only a little bit more devoted to it. You know,
you realize, of course, that we now live in a world that until something changes in the future, the conversation is going to be, well, yeah, Justice League made a whole shitload of money, but it wasn't Fast and Furious money.
Right. Yeah, well, one of the things, it's our most successful franchise ever. And it's like, yeah, it's 8 fucking movies. You know, 8 modern blockbusters is a fucking huge franchise. You know, you have to get into horror films to start matching an 8-picture run. You know, and I mean, and I'm not bad-mouthing Fast and the Furious per se, but, you know, 8 fucking movies in what, 13 years? And I think 7 of them have the same cast members.
A fair amount of them have cast members, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, well, obviously you don't have the Tokyo Drift guys because you can't afford them. And my Paul Walker jokes write themselves. But fucking Paul Walker couldn't drive anyways. But fucking... But all right. Yeah, I mean, 8 movies, Fast and the Furious money. Yeah, what else is that 8 fucking films? Predator? If you count the aliens Predator, that's like what, 5, 6?
Well, if you're counting actual sequels and actual continuing storyline, I think it's like Friday the 13th.
Well, yeah, but the Friday the 13th stuff, that's all low budget, you know, 5 million, 10 million.
No, but I'm saying that it has made it up to like 8, 9, or 10 movies. Like, right. But it's still in the horror genre. You're talking that, you're talking Hellraiser. I'm trying to think of stuff that hasn't been even soft rebooted to try to pick up extra stuff. I mean, Bond and Harry Potter, but Potter even only had 8 because they broke the last movie into 2.
Yeah, and Bond's kind of a special case because they've done like 30 of them. But at this point, I mean, other than the Daniel Craig stuff, there's not a lot of direct continuation. But I guess that's also splitting hairs. 30 Bond movies is 30 Bond movies. So, you know, I mean.
And I've always wondered why the comic book movies can't go that route and just replace the lead character and continue the story.
I think that's what we're going to see with Infinity War. I think that's why they changed the name of the other Avengers movie. I think that's where because your contracts are popping up. If the guys are getting too old, they can resurrect them or let them die for a bit or change them with the Infinity Gem or recast them. And, you know, it's all good.
Well, I just saw before I logged on to Skype to do this whole thing, I saw something pop up that Zoe Saldana may have let the name for the second Avengers movie drop in an interview accidentally.
Whoops.
Because she said that the Guardians of the Galaxy crew had already filmed all of their Infinity War stuff, and now we have to go back later in the year to film our Gauntlet stuff.
Ooh, shit.
But
whoops.
Somebody else at Marvel shot down the Gauntlet title. I think it was James Gunn today shot that down too.
Yeah, but he did that after she said it. So is that trying to put the toothpaste back in the tube? Because he said that we're keeping that title secret for a reason.
Yeah, very possible.
Tappity, tappity, tap, 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 tap.
Well, no, because it reminded
Zoe Saldana just give away the Avengers movie?
It reminded me of something else I was making a joke about earlier, which was Marvel did a little teaser going, you'll never guess the shock ending of Marvel Legacy #1. And the Twitter guys go, oh, you brought back the Fantastic Four? And Marvel was like, shit, we'll be right back.
I saw that.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much how the exchange, you know, it was like, well, they guessed that. So, you know.
Well, yeah, it was either that or Wolverine.
Yeah, well, I think Wolverine, don't get me started on that bullshit. Too late. The Wolverine thing was actually really cool because I didn't expect him to stay dead for longer than, say, 3 months.
Yeah.
But then the week he's dead, they've already got, like, a weekly series out called Wolverines with every Wolverine knockoff in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
And then that ran up until their reality is destroyed, where there's still 6 or 7 Wolverines running around what's left of the Marvel Universe. And then reality gets recreated, and they have 3 Wolverines, and they have 1 Wolverine literally in every fucking book. And it was like, well, that was the whole reason for bumping off Wolverine in the first place. So you've got Old Man Logan in every single X book. Literally 100% of the X-books, And then you've got Laura, who just had a breakout appearance in Logan, you know. And yeah, she's on her own. It's like, well, that made perfect fucking sense. That was, you know, way to capitalize on that. And Laura's a good character. Yeah, I like her more than I like the old man Logan shit running her. But yeah, Logan's coming back too. That's going to happen.
Oh yeah, you know it's going to happen.
Yes, especially with, you know, I'm guessing that's going to be the new, you'll never guess the shock ending of Legacy number two. Oh, Wolverine's back? Fuck. Be right back.
God damn it, you guys are good.
And then we get to issue three and go, you'll never guess what happens. And you go, it's Wednesday. Fuck. I'm going to just over tag that motherfucker.
Hashtag Wednesday.
This is what happens when Toner skips out. He's the Yang.
Toner fell asleep about 2 hours ago, too. Guarantee you that.
Or he got picked up by some highway strangler.
Hey, this is St. Louis. That could happen. Just letting you know.
So what else you guys got here? You guys have notes on Last Jedi as well.
Yep. I don't know about you guys, but I had Celebration live feed on pretty much all weekend last weekend. And so
I'm good with it.
So I watched the Last Jedi panel, and they kind of introduce what was going on. And one of the highlights was Mark Hamill coming out saying something about each character, and he gets to Rey, and he's like, "You're my dog. You're a very good character."
Yeah.
And the crowd went crazy. But
I'm still holding out hope. I'm going to say I'm still holding out hope on my prediction.
Do you say she's Obi-Wan related?
I think she's a Kenobi.
Well, we'll see.
The
host of the panel is like, so everyone's telling a little bit about the characters. So, are you a Kenobi or a Skywalker? And whatever her name is, just started laughing at it and didn't answer it. So,
yeah. And the thing is that I'm perfectly okay with her not being a genetic Kenobi. Because everybody's like, well, how could he have had a daughter if he's this hermit who lives by himself out in the desert for how many fucking years? I'm okay. I don't know if it's still part of the Disney Star Wars universe, but wasn't there this whole thing that there was like the Force can create on its own? Wasn't Anakin, like, you know, supposedly like the Virgin Mary birth kind of thing?
Yeah.
Immaculate conception.
Yeah, he just kind of happened.
No, well, there was the theory that Darth Plagueis could, Plagueis or Plagueis, however you want to pronounce it, he could control midichlorians, and he could bring people back from the dead, is basically what it was. So, yeah, if you're powerful enough, well, it's never been said on the light side, but if you're a power enough Sith Lord, you have the ability to control life. So,
well, but it was said in episode one that he didn't have a father, that she just woke up pregnant one day.
Right, and the Darth Plagueis stuff was considered legends now, so people don't really know exactly how that all
happened. CJ, and I don't know if, well, see, but he mentions Plagueis in number three, doesn't he not?
When he's
talking about the rule, does he not mention rule of two in that or something like that?
I don't think he mentions them by name, but the Chancellor does mention that you can become powerful enough to create life.
And that was part of, at the time, I mean, all the Legends stuff was considered canon, and the Plagueis novel kind of touched on that stuff, but since then it's all been wiped out. So,
but I would be okay with somebody coming to Obi-Wan with this infant child and leaving it with him, and him raising her as his own. And she effectively kind of takes the name. I would be perfectly okay with that. Doesn't have to be his actual, you know, from birth daughter.
Yeah.
They've given so many, like, teases and parallels between her character and Obi-Wan's character from the original trilogy that I think it would be almost a big fuck you to the audience if they take all those teases and hints that they've given and kind of turn away from and go, nah, we were just fucking with you.
See, I thought you were going to go like the Kevin Smith route and they got his spanker chif and cloned him from that.
I thought he was just going to use the Force to inject people with sperm from fucking a great distance. I mean, really, when it gets down to it, Star Wars has had such a, like, remarkably ridiculous amount of coincidence slash fate slash destiny that at this point, I mean, who's it really fooling or mattering if she's a Kenobi or a Skywalker or not? You know, I mean, who'd get mad at that? Eh, it tells a good story. Ben Kenobi's like the world's biggest fucking liar. You know, fucking horny old guy living out in the desert could have had plenty of strange.
He could have traveled into town, they lived
near a cantina.
Exactly.
Fucking, they're drinking that blue shit, getting fucking crazy. He probably pulled some space strange. No, Jedi mind trick.
Well, I don't know. I think the biggest question from the trailer, Jay, that they put out was in regards to it's when Luke said it's time for the Jedi to end. And that's where all the fan theory goes from there. What are your guys' thoughts on when he says that? Is that a hint at Luke saying maybe he's going to turn towards the dark side?
I don't think so.
Or is it a matter of he's so disenfranchised with the theory of the Jedi that he thinks it's time for a different type of order to step up, or there should be no order? I think
this is how this is going to play out. Now, I could be wrong, but originally the title Last Jedi, my big hook was Jedi is also its own plural. So he could be talking collectively about the three of them or the two of them, however you want to split hairs. I think that by Last Jedi, he means he's not going to train fucking what's her name to be a Jedi. And he pretty much thinks that his purpose in life is to take old Kylo Ren out with him, you know, and that's it. That's the end of it. I think he's miserable about it. I think it's done. He's got that bro. I think the idea is he's broke. He's like the broken mentor type of thing. He's not Burgess Meredith and Rocky looking to train some new up and comer. You know, he'd just assume let it go out. All it's done is fucking hurt.
But I think it's the fact that you say that Force Awakens was a, you know, an homage to New Hope. Well, if you think of it, if we're going to do it the same way with Empire and Last Jedi, well, Yoda was not all about wanting to train Luke, right?
Right.
So I think it's just a mirror of that. And I think there's going to, at the beginning, you're going to see Luke not wanting to train her. And then all of a sudden, I think it is going to be kind of like Rocky-esque as far as, you know.
Well, but she's also apparently fucking much more capable of learning on the go than fucking whining farm boy. Yeah, well, because, I mean, she got pretty fucking proficient pretty fucking quick, you know. Yeah. I don't know how much training she really needs, you know. Yeah. And they even joke about and comment on that. So she might just want the discipline or the, you know, control. And he's like, nope, we're out. We're done. We're not doing this anymore, you know. Yeah. I think they're going to do much of, like, the reluctant, I guess the Ronin type attitude with him.
Well, one of the things I've been reading on Reddit is maybe it's not necessarily the end of the Jedi, but more like the Jedi as we know it. Because
right, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
The strict Jedi from the prequel trilogy brought about their own downfall by being so strict about their rules of no attachment and everything. And I think Luke tried to follow that with Kylo Ren and the Jedi at the time, and the same thing happened again where Kylo Ren turned, killed everyone. I think Luke's is realizing the Jedi have to be something different. And I think that's what he's going for with no more Jedi.
Although what I was looking for in the trailer was to see if there's any hints of Rey turning towards the dark side. Cause there's always that theory going out there. Did you see anything, Jay, that could point towards that direction?
Nothing. No, I didn't notice anything really, but
yeah, see, neither did I.
It was a teaser. It just gave you bits and pieces, and it not much of the story, which is what an early teaser like this is supposed to do.
Yeah. Do you even want to see more? I don't even know if I want to know more about the story. To be honest with you, I kind of rather just go into it knowing as little as I do know.
I've got that side of me that wants to know it, but then at the same time, I don't want to know anything because I want to go into the movie and be surprised by the movie.
Yeah.
Well, then that teaser hit you exactly the way it was intended then.
Right.
Yeah.
Knowing how the Star Wars universe seems to... It's very cyclical.
Right.
Especially the story that we've seen, because we also have to realize that the story that we've seen is really about one family. The entirety of all the movies so far has basically all been about one family. And how their history and their fate kind of repeats itself from generation to generation. So Force Awakens was very similar to Episode 4 and Episode 1. I'm expecting the same thing from The Last Jedi. I don't think it's going to end on a very happy note for the good guys. I think there's going to be a big resurgence of evil, the pendulum kind of swinging towards the dark side. And there will probably be some severe sacrifices made. Han made the big Obi-Wan sacrifice in Force Awakens.
The Qui-Gon
My
sacrifice.
Take on the teaser, what was that?
The Qui-Gon sacrifice in Episode 1.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
My take from the teaser, the director has already said in all of his filming that he has always assumed and gone on the premise that the title of The Last Jedi is singular and that it refers specifically to Luke.
Yeah, that's not what I've always thought of when I heard Last Jedi.
But when Luke says that in the teaser, that almost makes him sound like The Rock and that he's talking in third person. So... What I got from the teaser is that I don't think Rey is really on the First Order's radar. And if they're out hunting all the Jedi, which it appears like they are in that teaser, because with Phasma and all the stormtroopers coming through what potentially is a Jedi temple that they've burned to the ground, if they're hunting all the Jedi to eliminate them, I took that as Luke saying... It's time for the Jedi to end, meaning they don't know you're around, but they know I'm around. So I'm going to make the ultimate sacrifice so they think that they can claim victory, and that's going to allow you to do your job without them hunting you. Hmm. And he makes the Han frozen in carbonite sacrifice to mirror Empire Strikes Back.
Oh, that's interesting. That's a good theory. Do you think there's any possibility of Luke going to the dark side? That he's just fed up with it all? And he'd have to follow his... There's that thing of saying, hey, it's genetic. They want to play on the genetics of he's going to follow his father's path.
That might be going to the well just one too many times. I mean...
Well, yeah, because that's what one of the first comic series did that was released after they...
Yeah, but I don't know if Dark Empire is even that significant anymore.
No, since it's all Legends now.
Right, but...
I think it would have been cool, but I think they would have had to address it in the first movie, that was why he went away.
Right.
I don't know if they can bring it up this far. I mean, granted, we're still only one movie into the new trilogy, but I don't know if they can bring it up at this point in time that, look, this is why I left, because I felt I couldn't control myself and that I was going to go to the dark side like my father before me kind of thing.
And if
there was any semblance of that, he also has to realize that, like his father before him, he was redeemed and he was able to come back from it.
And I think if they would have gone that route, they would have had him turn around and he would have had the yellow eyes that Anakin had at the end of the last movie.
But that's if he went full dark side at that point, right?
Yeah, well, here's my take on that, too. When they do the big Emperor standoff in Jedi, it's your overconfidence is your weakness, your faith in your friends is yours. Luke's always had that anchor that Anakin didn't. That's Leia, that's Han, you know, that's the fucking camaraderie thing there. Carrie Fisher's dead now, so you don't get to play the twin sister shit. You know, you could bring him to the dark side, but you'd have Leia bringing him back. Yeah, I mean, it would be Leia at this point. Han's gone. You can't have Chewie.
But she's still in Episode 8, though.
Yeah, but you can't turn him dark and have her turn him back in the same movie. You got a cliffhanger, that shit. If Luke goes dark...
No, and that's why I'm saying that I think it's a little late in the game.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think that's just... chasing a parked car, really. I mean,
right.
It's clunky unless you've already just set it up and you start with your guns, immediately in this next movie. And yeah, he just seems very resigned. You know, maybe it's time for the Jedi to die. Might just insinuate that he's not going to train her and he's just going to let it all die out with him. You know, I mean, you don't but deserve.
It clearly does look in that trailer like he is training her, though. So yeah, that was actually a point that I had never even considered. That scene at the end of that trailer may come way early in this movie. Right. And she's like, hey, you have to train me so we can carry on. And he's like, no, fuck no, I'm done. And then it becomes this whole convincing thing throughout the movie where finally...
I will never make another Hanzo sword. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Where all of a sudden she gets him to turn around halfway through the movie and he does train her. I hadn't actually considered that. That's a pretty cool theory as well.
Yeah, I just... It's so early in the game, yeah. And I'm one of those that... I don't know that I'm excited for the Star Wars movies, but I hide out from them. Like, I managed to avoid knowing that Han died up until, like, the day before I actually watched it when it got released on digital. And that's because somebody on Twitter, like, did a massive tweet about it.
Wow, that's impressive. So,
well, when I go, my big problem is I read and absorb so much and look through all this shit that's really easy to come across crap and go, uh-oh. But if you're I don't click on comic book sites generally anymore. People point out stuff to me, you know, stuff like that. So I'm not looking for trouble most of the time, you know. And my Facebook feed is filled with people that are such like geeks and fans of this stuff that they don't want to spoil it anyways.
Right.
Usually if there's anyone spoiling, it's me. You know, I'm like, he fucking died at the end? What the fuck is that? You know? You know, that type of dumb shit.
So I know Matt follows the extended universe stuff that they still do, but I don't know about you guys, but they're ending Rebels after the next season.
Mm-hmm.
Which I really can't say I'm surprised by, because those characters really can't get too far into the story before you run into Rogue One and Episode 4. But they said they're going to follow it up with another cartoon series.
Which I'm curious where they're going to go in regards to the timeline on that and what stories they're going to explore. Because I haven't watched Rebels yet. I finished the Clone Wars, and I really like that. And I watched the premiere of season one of Rebels, and I really like that. But I stopped so I can read Kanan or Kanan? Is it Kanan?
Kanan.
Yeah, I've stopped to read that 12-issue arc of his that Marvel put out.
Yeah.
So I need to read that kind of as a prequel, I guess. In your timeline, I need to read that before I really jump into Rebels.
It gives you some of the background on the character.
Yeah.
But I mean, you wouldn't be lost if you started watching Rebels and then went back and read it.
Well, see, I think I already know. Without even watching Rebels, I already know most of what's happening just by, like Mark was saying, it's hard to avoid it. I don't even go looking for it, and it's hard to avoid what's going on. And I know there's something to do with Thrawn in it. I know there's a big Obi-Wan Maul throwdown. And you know where it's going to end up. You're going to end right before you hit Rogue One. I wonder if they're actually going to explore any of that, like take something from the beginning of Rogue One and make that the end of Rebels. But
they took some of the Rebel stuff and put it in Rogue One. As Easter eggs. There's a shot of their ship at the big battle, and there's a shot of Chopper, their droid, on Yavin 4. But you don't see any of the actual characters.
Okay. So, and I've heard that ending it at season 4 is the right natural progression, that they're not trying to drag it out, which is what they kind of did with Clone Wars. It took them a long time to find their footing, but then once their story was told, they were kind of just done. And I liked how it ended.
Well, they still had one more season they were planning, and they did the storyboards and unfinished animation for the first two arcs of it, and then turned the rest of it into books and comic books.
Okay.
But yeah, if they do another series, I don't expect them to do anything with the new trilogy. I think maybe they'll go like Old Republic, because there's so much of that story that hasn't gone... They haven't talked about it at all.
But I'm also thinking maybe they'll explore that time between Jedi and Awaken.
See, I think they're trying to save that for other mediums. Like, they've had the Aftermath books that have come out, and they've done some of the comic book stuff with, like, Poe and Shattered Empire. So I think they're trying to use as much of that for that type of stuff, and then they might go in
because
and
I thought all the Old Republic stuff wasn't canon anymore.
It's not, but they could definitely set it up and go into old Mandalore and how the Sith came about and
yeah.
There's so many options that they could do.
Did they announce a Palpatine book or maybe something that's going to come out that shows his progression from being recruited? As you know, being recruited by Plagueis and showing how he became Sidious.
No, they haven't announced anything for that. They've done a couple young adult books or even kid books that go into more of like the Rogue One characters. They're doing, I think it's Inferno Squadron, which is like the prequel to Battlefront 2, which is the Empire side of it.
Yeah.
And then they've got another couple books planned out, but I don't remember what they are offhand.
I would really like to see them do a animated arc of stuff set in the Old Republic. Because I think it would give them more room to explore stuff before they start butting up against stuff that's already out there. I mean, if that's kind of their big thing for... One of the reasons why they're getting rid of Rebels because they can only go so much further before they actually start hitting on, you know, stories that the movies are telling. Going back much, much farther would give them far more room to grow and create stuff while still not really mucking about with anything that's currently going on.
And that ties into why they got rid of all the Legends stuff was everything got so convoluted. They've been working hard to keep it all one cohesive story through everything that they've put out. So, this would give them the opportunity to go back and say, this is how the Jedi were found, and this is how the Sith started. And like, I know a lot of people want to find out more about Mandalore, because that was a big thing from Clone Wars, and apparently from this season of Rebels. So, they've got lots of options there. All right, well, I think we touched on everything. And we've been on for almost 3 hours, so.
Well, most of that's off-topic rambling. So, sorry.
Which is always entertaining. I mean, you've listened to our normal podcasts.
Oh, dude, I love you guys.
Yeah, but we can't ever get together to podcast anymore.
No.
Well, I'm actually doing something about that. I told Toner, and I think I told Jay, too. I'm going to fund one of your Nerdist nights, so beer money's on me for that night, so you guys record, and I'm going to do your 10th anniversary special.
10th anniversary. Have we even had a first anniversary, Jay?
Well, the sound guy Steve got really fucked up, and that night he did his proclamation of love, talked about how you guys have been doing this for a decade. So I called dibs on your 10th anniversary special.
Our second anniversary might be our 10th anniversary. So,
and I just had Swamp Fox on my show, so I got to hear the origin of the Something Something Cast theme song.
That whole thing was, I mean, beyond...
It's a great story. It's a
beyond serendipitous bizarre. It was so hysterical.
Yeah, I loved hearing it. It came up. I almost forgot about it because we digressed and, you know, we wander. Every show I recorded, I have to chop and edit because I wander off to shit that nobody's going to fucking sit through. And... By the time we got done talking, I realized because my goal for this year is to get everybody on an hour and just do an hour show. And by the time we hit like an hour 20, I'm like, dude, I never even asked about the song. And that was originally going to be the hook to start the show. So, like, it's like, oh, yeah, by the way, the song. And he tells me that story. And that's a fantastic fucking story.
Oh, it was, he is, I met him and his wife through playing World of Warcraft. And we had known each other through, you know, guild chat and team speak for like 4 years before we ever met in person. The first time we met in person was in the lobby of a hotel in Maryland. Because me and my friends and him and his wife are Renaissance Festival geeks. And we keep talking about this one down in Maryland. So I sent her the website and she's like, so when are you guys going this year? So the first time we ever met in person was as we were getting our hotel rooms. And since then we've been up to their house. They've come down here. You know, we kind of trade every 6 months. We go up and visit. They come down and visit. And I was like, hey, I know you're a musician also. And it was like very jokingly and elbowingly kind of like, hey, if you ever have free time, you want to write us a theme song, that would be awesome. Because like our first six episodes, we've just been dragging stuff off of YouTube when we first started the show. and that was all that was said and nothing else was mentioned ever again. And I thought, okay, it was, you know, funny joke, made my point. And then like 4 weeks later, I get this email and he's like, so tell me which version. And I go to play it. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, you actually wrote the song? He's like, yeah, which one do you like better? It was just fantastic, and it's, I love it. It's one of those things where I will never get tired of hearing it. At our live shows, we make the audience sing along with it as we start recording.
Oh yeah, but that's a catchy song.
It's just a great piece of audio, and it's actually a great full song too on his previous album. He actually uses the same music and some of the same words, but not the same chorus. But it's a great stuff, and he's a fantastic guy and a brilliant musician too.
Yeah, I love talking to him. I'm probably going to have him on again. But I'm trying to book my first book 12 shows, and I just did two in 2 days. So now this is the part where I'm cocky. So it's one of those, I got to keep the momentum up, or because I want to do 1 hour show every month and then do my rants in between and mini episodes and participation stuff. And, you know, just the other stuff. And I kind of fucked up my booking because I should have started asking all these, because I have like four comic creators that are down for it.
Right.
And I should have done it before convention season.
Yeah.
Because now they're all like, one of them's in Missouri, as a matter of fact. And I wanted to do it so they could get promoted while the, you know, convention stuff's going on, but they don't have the time now. And I'm like, damn, I should have done all this in like December.
Yeah. You know? Right.
So I know for the next time. But yeah, I had an absolute blast talking to him. It was really fun.
Yeah, we have a couple lined up. We're trying to get we have some other podcasts through Potter and Family that we're trying to get on the show, but we're also trying to get Andrew Younghusband on. He's already said he'll be on the show. It's just a matter of trying to find a time to get him on the show.
Right.
Canadian TV show host from Canada's Worst Driver. It's a show on Netflix that I found and I told Hatton about, and he started watching it, and it's just, it is equal parts hilarious and absolutely terrifying. But he's hysterical and brilliant on the show, so we're trying to get him on.
Well, shit. Before everybody logs out, this is what I want from all of you. Rob, suggest to me one piece of pop culture that you think I might not be checking out that's worth my time. Book, TV show, movie, don't give a fuck. What do you got?
Wow.
Don't say Doctor Who.
No.
Good man.
I haven't watched any Doctor Who stuff since they took it off Netflix and went to Amazon.
See, I do have Amazon. Special.
That's kind of rough. I don't know.
I'll come back around to you. Jay, yeah. What you got?
Oh, gosh. I could go ahead and say Gilmore Girls, because that's all that's been playing in our house for the last, like, 3 weeks.
You evil motherfucker. But fine. All right, it's on the list.
No.
It's too late now. I wrote it in Sharpie. Oh. It's right here.
I've been trying to avoid it. My wife and my
It's on the list, man. It's fucking, it's done.
Damn it, why did I have to say something?
It says Gilmore Girls and Jay. That's what you get for being assertive. Nobody likes fucking number one. I'm telling you. Boom. Gilmore Girls, Jay. It's right there. It's on the phone. It's fucking on the list. It's going to be on Facebook in a minute. I put it on.
Did you just take a picture of the list?
Yeah.
I heard the little.
Fuck yeah, dude. Matt, what you got for me, man?
Oh, I'm the worst person to ask about this. Let's see.
Technically, Rob might be the worst person to ask this right now.
Yeah. Okay, so, although, like,
Rob,
how much...
Rob didn't give me fucking Gilmore Girls, though.
How much are you aware of anything having to do with, like, the Warhammer 40K universe?
I'm fairly aware.
Okay. I don't know how current pop culture it is, but I'm still reading my way through the Horus Heresy books about how all those... Space Marine chapters fell to chaos and how all that started and they tried to overthrow the Emperor and everything. It's kind of getting like the Dragonlance books now, where it started out with 6 or 7 really solid books and now we're into like 14 and 15 and they're still, you know, making their way to the end of the story. But if you're into that kind of stuff, gray matter wise, and you're willing to sink, you know, a time sink into like 15 to 20 books, they're not bad. As far as Netflix stuff goes, my current jam has been Great British Bake Off.
Wait, a baking show?
Baking show, I like that.
It's a baking reality show. It's actually on Netflix. It's called The Great British Baking Show because Pillsbury owns the rights to the words Bake Off in the United States, so they can't promote any TV show that has the word Bake Off in it. But here's the challenge I give to you, sir. Watch the 2 seasons of Canada's Worst Driver on Netflix, and you will immediately lose faith in humanity by realizing that there are people this shitty as far as drivers go and who really don't care out there in the world, and they exist. And then you follow it up with 3 seasons of Great British Bake Off, and your faith in humanity is immediately restored. Watching these overly polite Brits bake fantastic fucking pies and loaves of bread. It's fucking amazing. It's cathartic and it's hysterical. And there's one of the MC chicks on there, Sue Perkins, should absolutely be the next Doctor Who.
So what you're saying is these Horus Heresy books, fucking yeah. I've got the fucking British Bake Off thing, which I have in parentheses with fuck Pillsbury, which I'm sure. And what's that? Canada's Worst Drivers?
Canada's Worst Driver.
Oh my God.
Do they fucking subtitle that in French too?
No, everybody speaks English. It's the whole concept is it's a reality show, but the way you get voted off is by learning to be a better driver. So the longer you're on the show just proves that you're that shitty of a driver.
Canada's not real life.
My God.
All right, Matt, what do you got for me?
All right, I'll give you here. You said you have Amazon, and I'll also give you Netflix. Amazon, what I'm doing right now is season 4 of The Americans. Have you ever watched any of The Americans?
I watched the first season, and I was like, okay, pretty dense, and I kind of fell out. But okay. Give The Americans another go around?
Give Americans another go around. It's pretty good. I think they're getting towards that thing where they're learning that they need to wrap it up. And I'm pretty sure 5th season will be it. I'm hoping. And then Netflix, I'm going to give you something that's very lighthearted. And I haven't even finished it myself, but I'm enjoying it with my kids, is Trollhunters. It's Guillermo del Toro. And the main character is voiced by Anton Yelchin. And it's kind of sad to hear his voice, but he does it really well. And
I was going to say, wow.
Yeah.
So no further show of that, huh?
I don't know. They'll replace his voice, obviously.
Well, but, yeah, I would say replace him or a fucking seance.
Yeah. And then I'll give you a book, a comic book that I liked a lot. And it's a one-shot kind of thing, and it's a little bit different. It's Brian K. Vaughan, The Private Eye. Don't know if you've heard of it or read it. It was one of his books that he put out there for free.
No, I missed that one.
It's basically one of those where he said, pay what you want kind of book. I picked it up from the library. It was a hardcover. Pretty quick read. It's pretty good. I liked it. And it's just one of those that not many people heard of, I think. And so it's kind of under the radar, but well worth the read. And it won't take you very long.
Yeah, I mean, I liked Runaways. I liked Pride to Baghdad. Liked Why the Last Man. That's definitely.
And another one of his, that's another kind of like a one-shot thing, was We Stand on Guard. Checked out that one, too. If you can get it from your library or something like that. I wouldn't spend too much money on it if you had to buy it or anything like that. But the art's fantastic. I told Jay to just look at it just for the art. But to Brian K. Vaughan, no one really heard of them, but they came out. I thought they were fantastic.
Jay, are you sure you want to stick me with Gilmore Girls?
No.
No, it's too late for that shit now. I just need to get that in one last time.
Okay. Hey, can I throw something else at you, Marcus? And it's more of a question, really. Have you read Neonomicon?
Maybe. But I consume a lot of content.
It was a two-part comic book from Alan Moore about Lovecraftian shit.
Let's say no, but I'll definitely check it out now that you put it back in my head, because that's directly in my fucking wheelhouse right there.
And the reason, well, it's funny because the reason I bring it up is because we talked about Alan Moore stuff before with Watchmen, and he seems to have this ongoing thing of, I would really like nothing more than for people to stop taking my fucking comic books and trying to make movies out of them.
Yes.
And I think this is his exclamation point on that. Like, I read this book, I like the story, but I get this underlying sense the entire time he was writing it that he's going, make this into a fucking movie, jerk-offs. be made into a movie anywhere, ever.
I would buy the movie rights to his million-word poem just to watch him lose his shit.
Like, definitely something worth checking out.
Okay, yeah, I'll definitely look at it. I would throw you guys stuff, but the honest answer is I consume so much content that I really just play the like what you like game. Like comic book wise, in recent years, you know, my favorite character is Moon Knight, and the Lemire book's been fucking fantastic, but it's not for everybody, you know. And most of the stuff I would praise is stuff that you'd probably already read anyways. Injustice, The Vision, you know, Vision's run was amazing. It was Breaking Bad in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah,
you know?
That was really good.
It does stuff that, like, The Vision was a character that I had absolutely no interest in a solo book because I knew exactly what they were going to do with them, which is going to be more Pinocchio analogies and more, you know, Lieutenant Commander Data bullshit. And instead they gave me Breaking Bad.
Wow. Okay. Who wrote that?
Tom King.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. And I was all over it. It was one of the most engrossing sideways reads I've ever read. It didn't go anywhere I thought it would. And I was happy for it, you know? Mm-hmm. And when you can dash your expectations and be happier than, you know, like, wow, this was not only better than I thought it would be, but it was nothing like I thought it would be. You did something right. The next recommendation's an Amazon Prime one for the most part. And it was it's not high art by any stretch of the imagination. And I could hear Rob chuckling because he knows I'm about to fucking recommend it for like the 100th time in 3 months. But if you guys haven't watched Banshee yet,
I've actually heard good things about that.
That is the most batshit insane cop show I have ever fucking watched.
Because that was on Cinemax, I think, right?
Yeah, it was a Cinemax show, and like it opens with the teaser that says, from the creators of True Blood, and I'm like, I'm out. Fuck you. You know, True Blood, yeah, I'm done. And it ended up being like my favorite cop show of all time. Because it's a crook that comes to like Pennsylvania Dutch territory, and he ends up posing as their sheriff. And he's their sheriff not by like Hooker with the Heart of Gold. He's a criminal hiding out, and he's actually a better sheriff being a criminal than their former sheriff was.
Is this still ongoing, or did they end it after like?
They ended it after 4 seasons, but they had a beginning, middle, and end. And the beginning started very like kind of escapist type, you know, like here's your gratuitous sex scene, here's your violence scene. Of course, we're a show. But by the end of like the 4th episode, I'm like, dude, I'm in. You know, I watched all 4 seasons in like a weekend, and then I turned around and watched it again. You know, it's very rare to have a show, and they, without going too much into spoilers, in the last season they have a short season and a time jump. And anytime you end a show with the final season where it's number one a short season, you know it's not going to be any good. And then when you couple that with we're going to skip ahead a couple of years at the same time, you're like, oh, dude, they're going to fuck this up. They not only fucking pulled it off, but they had one of the best and most satisfying endings to that type of show I've ever seen.
So he didn't turn into a lumberjack?
No, he did not run off and fucking like tell his sister, you know, that maybe she's in love with him and fucking wander into a hurricane where, you know, he makes the front page of a fucking iPad in Brazil.
Or
he's on camera killing fucking people in the impound and they're like, Dexter, man, you killed that guy in cold blood. Yeah, I did. Well, fuck, dude. Okay, well, go home. Get some sleep. Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's what the fucking, you know, Batista. I don't know, man. I'll take care of it for you. Thanks, Dexter, bro.
Awful ending. Awful. Jay, you stopped watching Dexter after season 4, like, didn't you?
No, I watched the whole thing.
See, I was about to give you mad love for knowing when to jump off. It's completionist motherfuckers. You do it every time.
Yes,
and I do the same way, man. I complete everything. I can't help it.
I was so proud of the fact that now I have my comic book collection has gaps in it. Because before I couldn't do that. No, I had to waste, you know, money on every issue, even when they sucked. I have a run of Teen Titans that's cringeworthy. Fucking where Roy Harper is leading the team. Fucking, and it looks like it's drawn in placenta. I mean, it's really fucking bad.
But there is that feel of abject self-loathing when you have issues that are missing. I went through the same thing. I collected stuff that I liked to read. Like, at first you go into it going, oh, dude, I'll collect these, and in like 30, 40 years from now, maybe I'll sell them and make some money. And you just start, you collect shit that you really enjoy reading. And yeah, you get stuff where it's like, oh, look, I have like 137 Justice League America issues, but I'm missing issues 10 and 64. Fuck! So I have to like go out and find them because even though they were terrible and only you ever enjoyed them, they're not complete. If I do ever try to sell these for $5, somebody's going to look at me and go, well, where's fucking issue 10 and 64? I'm only going to give you $3 because you're missing two of them.
Where's the Judgment Day crossover where Triumph joined the team? Fuck you, nerd. Nobody needs that.
There it is. Jay, that's the title of this one. Fuck you, nerd. I'm done.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, I mean, nerd. There's a certain point where you got to let go. I had hundreds of comic books. You know how many good crazy quilt stories I've read? Zero. You know why? The character sucks. You know how they tell you that there's no bad characters, just bad creators? No, sometimes characters suck too.
Yeah.
Fucking Hal Jordan, dude. Fuck Hal Jordan. Yeah. Fuck. Oh, that tree killing fucking yeah. There's just so many spots where if you can drop a book you're not liking, drop it. Because what happens is I'm now paying to subsidize a shitty book. If I want to pick up a new book, I always tell everyone, well, it's got to look good. It's got to interest me. Well, okay, then why am I subsidizing all these shitty books? You know, it's one of the reasons why Image started hitting on all cylinders, not because they cranked it. You know, like Marvel got to a point where they solicited in January something like 105 different titles.
Jesus.
Dude, in the 90s when they imploded, it was something like 60 titles. 105 titles. Now, that's reprints and trades and all that shit, too. But that's 100 fucking books from one publisher. And then, you know, it's like they don't sound very good, you know.
62 of them are Wolverine books.
Yeah, and Old Man Logan showing, oh, fuck.
So if you want to find more of Marcus and Podcast Rob's stuff, you can look them up on iTunes. Marcus is Deadpan Fury, and Podcast Rob is from the Something Something Cast. Great podcast, worth checking out. If you want more of our stuff, check nerdcast.com, NYRDCAST. We're on all the social media, just look us up, Nerdcast. We will be back trying to get on a regular schedule, interviews, Nerd Talk, the actual podcast. So just keep an eye out, and we'll have stuff out starting probably next week.